Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be in, however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. And we have arrived at football season. This is a game week. We're at week zero. Huh? Yeah, week zero. Week zero in college football is akin to pre-boarding. It doesn't make any sense. How do you board a plane before you board a plane? There's all different levels of boarding. Early boarding is better than pre-boarding, but somehow you can pre-board.
For the people who are in the seated area, if you'd like to pre-board the plane, you can...
Wait a second. How do I board before I board? Same way we get week zero. Are there college football games this weekend? Yes, there's a ton of them. There's some really, really good ones. Some really exciting ones. So it's week one. No. It's week zero. So these games count? Yes. They exist? Yes. But the week doesn't? No. Why? I don't know. All caught up? Good. Let's get to the NFL. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is the Herd. Tom Curran covers the New England Patriots, and he does a very good job. And his most recent piece, he's the insider. Hey, most recent piece on NBC Sports Boston, where he stands up and he says, "This thing is over." Hey, that Mac Jones has impressed with his performance and his ability to handle all things New England Patriots offense. Handle the fact that he's going to take the job from a former league MVP who took the Carolina Panthers to the Super Bowl. Able to handle the fact that he is essentially the heir apparent to the legacy of Tom Brady. I'm sure there will be a limited playbook and a browbeating whenever he plays. But Tom Curran says this thing is over. Which brings us to, there's a couple of rules when you're getting ready for a season, when you're playing as an athlete. There are basic rules that everybody knows, and yet many people fall into that trap, which is don't make it easy on them. Cam Newton signed for $3.5 million. That kind of made it easy on him, but he clearly didn't have a leverage to get more money. Additionally, he hadn't thrown the football well, and it's backup quarterback, and he played like a backup quarterback last year. Please stop with the "I saw the Seattle game." You didn't watch the rest of the season. Season is longer this year, and while his shoulder is probably better, and his throwing and mechanics are better, and his knowledge of offense is better, there's been a limitation to his accuracy. And I've heard Colin point this out earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. It's like, hey, the truth is that while he probably throws a better deep ball when he's healthy than Mac Jones, this is not an offense that needs a deep ball. But the big thing is don't make it easy on your coach to sit you. Don't give them an excuse. Don't give them an explanation. And Cam Newton has done that, right? While the explanation of his season going to last year was COVID, that would lead some to believe that this year you would come in fully vaccinated, ready to lead, understanding how much that sets you back. Nope. And by missing time, he's probably going to miss that opportunity. And like, look, as athletes, like, that's all you really want. Bro, just give me a real opportunity, real games, real team, lights on, popcorns popping, week to prepare. Me and Josh McDaniels draw some stuff up in the dirt, come up with some explosive plays, figure out how to manipulate the defense. Cam Newton, this is a real thing. If Cam Newton doesn't start week one against the Miami Dolphins, a team that won 10 games last year, that has improved all their skill position, Tua Tagovailoa's got to be better. Brian Flores, another year under his belt, more of his own personnel. If Bill Belichick isn't going to let it organically play out on the field and allow Cam Newton to lose the job. And he's already lost the job in the preseason after, look, the last time we saw him play, he played pretty well. It tells you all you need to know about the real world of sports, which is you give him a reason, you give him a, if you're close, why would you ever give anybody else an opportunity to take those first team reps? Right? The same reason most people in football have been critical of the Jacksonville Jaguars up until yesterday announcing that Trevor Lawrence was the starting quarterback, right? The argument is, like, why would you be giving away first team reps to Gardner Minshew when Trevor Lawrence is your guy? He's the number one overall pick, an incredibly highly touted prospect. He's going to be the guy. Why would you give away half of his, you know, some of his snaps to anybody else? He needs all of those reps, right? The same reason we're critical of the Jaguars is the same reason that Cam Newton completely screwed this thing up. Whatever happened with the COVID stuff and the and who he's in proximity to and who tested, like, that stuff is bad. But guess what? If you're vaccinated, the rules are completely different. Everyone knows it, and you run the risk of giving your coach an easy excuse for why he couldn't start you, why you didn't get that opportunity. And as much as you could sit here and go, like, hey, if you're still Cam Newton, like, okay. Keep in mind, the Carolina Panthers, who he was an MVP of, released Cam Newton. He signed late last year, and the excuse for his lack of a big salary last year was, well, it was late in the process. Like, no, it wasn't. He was available. Well, nobody could evaluate his shoulder. Okay, that's fine. Everybody could evaluate his shoulder this year. They didn't. He signed for $3.5 million. But look, Ron Rivera has run through a bunch of quarterbacks. He settled on a veteran in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ron Rivera went to a Super Bowl with Cam Newton. Usually the way it works is you reach out to one of your guys who runs your system the way that you want. He's reached out to everybody but Cam Newton. Right? Even Mitchell Trubisky, who is a backup in Buffalo. But keep in mind, that Buffalo coaching staff, the Buffalo front office, Brandon Bean, where'd they come from? Carolina. So if the two places that have coaches and front office people who worked with Cam previously have politely said, yeah, we're good, and the Patriots had him for a year and only offered him $3.5 million and he doesn't start this year, and Carolina, like, okay, that's 1/8 of the league, but it also sends out signals to the rest of the league. This was a great opportunity for Cam. And whether he knowingly squandered it, potentially squandered it, it was squandered because he wouldn't get vaccinated. Right? Because he wouldn't get vaccinated. Because he listened to the wrong people. The guy has done everything in terms of leadership and handling. You haven't heard him complain about Mac Jones at all. He's been great. He's been effusive in his praise. The reason they kept him around is they really believe he's a good dude. He has great intentions. He's a hard worker. He's a locker room leader. And look, most of the dudes in the locker room either were playing with him or playing in the league when he won the MVP or growing up watching him win a Heisman Trophy, a national championship, an MVP, and go to the Super Bowl. People idolize him there. And that's why Bill Belichick, I believe, has handled this thing with kid gloves and thought, let's just let it organically take care of itself. Eventually, everybody will realize that Cam just doesn't have it anymore, and we can insert Mac Jones as he does have what we need, and there won't be any locker room strife. But when you take yourself out of the mix for a couple of days, you run the risk of being Wally Pipped. And that appears, I don't know if Mac Jones is the Iron Horse. But all these stories are the same, right? Guy gets hurt, guy misses something, guy gives an opportunity to a younger player, and this is what happens. It's like, look, there's stories in sports which we try and make about a bunch of other things, but the fact is that, you know, I don't believe it's the only reason the Niners are going to move on eventually from Jimmy Garoppolo, but one reason is he's always hurt. If you're not, part of ability is availability. I mean, but like the stories, the decades change. Why do teams leave cities? Because they couldn't get a new stadium. Right? The same reason the Cardinals left St. Louis, the Rams left St. Louis. Same reason, you know, the Raiders left L.A., came to L.A. because they were promised a stadium to be fixed, the L.A. Coliseum to be fixed. It never was. They left. They go to Oakland. They fix kind of the Coliseum, but they just add seats. But they never build them a new building, and then they leave. Why? Because they can get a new building. Same reason the Chargers left. Same reason the Lakers left Minnesota. The same reason the Jazz left New Orleans, right? Like, it's all kind of the same, just like all of these stories are the same. Veteran quarterback teetering has respect of everybody, but something injury, or in this case, being unvaccinated, costs him a couple of key days of preparation, gives somebody a great opportunity. And again, this is based upon Tom Curran. But look, Tom Curran covers the team. He's not saying these things unless he's hearing them from people inside the organization. And he's telling you that that opportunity that was provided to Mac Jones allowed Mac to shine. Does it mean he's going to be a great quarterback? No. Does it mean it's totally the right selection? No. But once there's momentum in the building, once we move on and a guy becomes QB1, boy, it's really hard to get it back. You want to know what the biggest lie told in sports? Ready? You don't lose your job to injury. Excuse me? Of course you do. If the guy comes in and is better than you, right? I mean, it's really, look, that's what happened to Carson Wentz. No matter how good he was beforehand, Foles won the Super Bowl. And wasn't good his first two starts, but it's really hard mentally for people to get over what they saw. The Wally Pipp incident, of course, is the most historically significant one, where Lou Gehrig replaced him and then never took a day off. You know, Phil Simms didn't get his job back from Jeff Hostetler when he won a Super Bowl. Drew Bledsoe didn't get his job back when Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. And we may be seeing the last of Cam Newton as a QB1. Now, would he start at some other place? Will he start in New England if they keep him? Potentially, yes. But that doesn't mean that he's the starting quarterback, right? And it's crazy, because sometimes you almost volunteer to your coach to sit down for a while. And when you create that opportunity for somebody else, if they're ready, they become the guy. And that's what appears to have happened in New England. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. You're going to need to hear which team Daniel Jeremiah likes most to make the Super Bowl. That plus, DJ lives in San Diego, huge Padre fan. We're going to pour salt into the wound after another Padres loss last night in 15 innings. All that's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Escape QuickBooks Quicksand with NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system. Special financing is back. NetSuite is offering one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch to from QuickBooks to NetSuite today. Head to netsuite.com/herd now. Dana Jeremiah is going to join us in a second. Have you guys seen what's happened to the Padres? Ryan, do you guys, Ryan Music, are you aware at all of the Padres' sudden slide?
I am aware. It's been a fall from grace for what was being called Slam Diego, I believe. Yes. Is what they self-anointed.
Slam Diego! They've lost 11 out of 13. Their biggest fan on Fox Sports Radio, I believe, is Daniel Jeremiah. He joins us now in The Herd. DJ, this is what the 15th inning sounded like last night.
Pollock hammers the ball, deep center field, forget about it, gone! Two-run blast! Dodgers back in front!
16th inning. Look, these things can happen. You know, you get to 16 inning games and everybody's just trying to get it over with. But as a San Diegan, considering all the hope, all the hype of, I don't know, 3 months ago, what the hell happened to the Padres?
Well, Doug, it's been rough No way to sugarcoat it. But when you have, I think, what, four starting pitchers that are down, yep. That doesn't help. Nope. And then the bats got cold to go along with that. So here's my only hope that I have as a Padre fan at this point in time. This is what I'm clinging to, as I believe, I think we're one game out of the second wild card. So the only thing better than winning the division and going on a run deep into the postseason, the only thing better than that would be to finish like 22 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Okay. The yeah. Dodgers finish a half game out of first place.
Sure.
Then the Reds kind of fall off a little bit. We get the second wild card. And even though we trail the Dodgers by 20 games in a one-game series, I guarantee you they don't want to play the Padres in a one-game series. They don't. No. They don't want to do that because we've beat them more times than they beat us this year. And it would be all the pressure in the world on them. It's not an equitable playoff system. It's kind of ridiculous when you think about that. The Dodgers could have a 20-game better season, and it's a winner-go-home and a one-gamer against, you know, Blake Snell, who pitched pretty good against them last night, potentially, who's starting to get rolling. I mean, that's not a very fair system, but I would take it.
It's a very good point. It's the he who laughs last always laughs best. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. I look at the New England situation, and there's a my late father used to tell me, I never forget, I was playing in a league called the USBL, now defunct USBL, in Enid, yep. Oklahoma. And we had dudes, right? Like, we had probably seven guys who had anybody from Willie Burton, who scored 50 points in an NBA game and was the number 9 pick out of the University of Minnesota, to the late Galen Young, who passed away this summer, but is a second-round pick of the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, we had dudes. And I never get, like, I was getting ready for our first game, and I was like, Dad, I can't believe how talented all these guys are. Like, it blows me away. And he said, son, there's always a reason. I go, what do you mean? He's like, well, there's always a reason that guys that are that talented are in the USBL, right? And mm-hmm. So I said, huh. And I remember driving to my first game, and one of the guys who had a weight problem was having two double cheeseburgers and a Sonic drink from Sonic. I remember being in the hotel parking lot, and in our hotel parking lot, there was a strip club. And again, this is like 2 hours for the game. One of my teammates comes like kind of stumbling out of the strip club, right? There was a guy who was crazy. There was a guy who, there was a reason for everybody. One guy was always hurt. One guy couldn't remember what we were supposed to be doing, right? Some guys couldn't shoot. There's always a reason. Feels like Cam Newton's providing a reason to make this switch early. Like, I get it. The COVID thing is hard to predict, but by not getting vaccinated and taking himself away from the team physically for a couple of days when it was kind of close, you're giving Belichick a reason to pull the trigger on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take a quick minute, Doug, and read you something. So this is from 1991. This is what Bill Belichick said he looked for in players by position. This is from a presentation that somebody did at one of our training camps who had been with that Brown staff. So for quarterbacks in 1991, this says, number one is to make good decisions. That's literally the first line of it. That's what Belichick, that's where it starts and ends with him. It's good decisions. You go back through, and look at everything he looks at. That he goes, good decisions. Then you can look at arm size, physically tough, leadership. Guys look up to and have confidence in, a real competitor. I'd rather have an accurate guy than a guy with a cannon. And it goes on and on. So then I go back and look up Mac Jones' report that I wrote on him, and literally here's the first two lines. Average size and athleticism for the quarterback position, operate out of the gun and pistol, incredible accuracy, efficiency, and poise. So all the stuff that Bill Belichick has valued at the quarterback position going back 30 years points to Mac Jones, and Cam Newton gave him that opportunity with the missed practice time to drive that point even home further.
Jimmy Garoppolo seemed to have a kind of cat that ate the canary sort of look when he was asked about the quarterback situation. What are your thoughts on San Francisco and their two quarterbacks?
First of all, that was like Christmas when you've gone out to the garage to like take the trash out and you see the Nintendo in the corner that's nice. Tucked underneath the blanket, and you're like, oh, I know what I'm getting for Christmas. Yeah. The look that Jimmy Garoppolo had.
Quick aside, favorite Nintendo game?
Well, I mean, you've Duck Hunter was great because it was the first one that you put in. So I always
Duck Hunter was not great. Duck Hunter was fine. Like, acceptable answers are Mario. Hold on. Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I played that.
Blades of Steel. RBI Baseball. Double Dribble. Right. NHL 94. These are all like, give me the what favorite Nintendo game before we move back on. Because it was a very good analogy.
Of all those, actually, and I don't know anything about hockey, but NHL 94 was my favorite of all those games. It was fun.
It's a good game. You could fight. That was really why everybody, you could.
Yeah.
It was, I think, the question. You could fight it. Okay. So Garoppolo's still the guy. But you were, and this is perfect, you were at those dual practices, Niners and Chargers, right? And obviously everybody's seen the clip of Derwin James picking him off and taking him to the house. In person, that stuff is played at a much higher level than the preseason games. What did the two quarterbacks look like against the Chargers defense?
Well, I mean, the day I was out there, Trey didn't have his best day. The thing with Trey, and it's fascinating to me, is that it kind of like what we would say about Lamar. I mean, different quarterbacks, but you remember with Lamar, we would say he has bad misses. So you leave the experience thinking, man, he's just wildly inaccurate. Well, he might have been 7 of 10, but of those 3 incompletions, 2 of them were just way off. And so that was kind of how Trey's day was going. Just had a couple bad misses out there. But there was a play where you saw him, you know, there was some pressure. He escapes and he runs for 30 yards. You saw more of that in the preseason where he was, you know, he got comfortable as the game went along. And then you started to see him move around a little bit. There's more in his body than in Jimmy's. Jimmy was more consistent at the practice that I was at than Trey was. So to me, it's a floor ceiling discussion, Doug. I think right now you have a little bit higher floor with Jimmy, but there's no debate on the ceiling. That's heavily in Trey Lance's favor.
Okay, so full disclosure, Dan Jeremiah is the voice of the LA Chargers. You and Matt Money Smith do a great job covering the Chargers. So, but the Niners, the MO on the Niners, you tell me if I'm wrong. You go back 2 years ago, like, they just had incredible talent, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Nick Bosa was the best player in the field in the Super Bowl for about 3 quarters there. Maybe he ran out of gas or they hit him for some plays or whatever. But just, when healthy, better talent than most teams. How did the Chargers stack up?
I think they stacked up well. And that was, you know, the thing that they didn't have going is their 2 starting tackles were down for those days of practice as well as in the preseason game. You know, hardly anybody played, but, you know, so the 49ers defensive front got after them a little bit in that session, but I would take the Chargers receiving core. I would take them over the 49ers. I think obviously Derwin is, you know, there's cyborgs all over the field with those two teams. Joey and Nick Bosa. Nick was just doing individual drills. Those guys are cyborgs. Derwin James is a cyborg. George Kittle's a cyborg. Trent Williams wasn't practicing. He's a cyborg. You know, Keenan Allen's fantastic. So, I mean, I thought, you know, star for star that the Chargers actually stacked up quite well. And Justin Herbert is, I mean, he's the bell of the ball. When you just want to go out there and watch somebody and say, oh, my gosh, wow. He brings the wow factor probably as much or more than anybody in those two teams.
I want to ask you about the Rams. They go out and get Sony Michel, which, I mean, I was sitting right there between Les Snead and talking to Sean McVay, and they're like going crazy about Daryl Henderson, and then they go and trade for Sony Michel, right? Which, okay, so maybe you're lying to me about Daryl Henderson. But does that get them back to where they needed to be in terms of having quality running backs to go along with Stafford and the rest of the weaponry?
Yeah, I think Daryl Henderson's still going to have a huge role there. I think this is about the fact Daryl Henderson hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it's a lot easier at this point in time to make this trade now than to wait until something happens to Daryl Henderson and try and survey the landscape at that point in time. So I think that was a timing issue to bring some depth into that room. So, I think he's a good balance to Daryl Henderson. Sony Michel gives you a little bit more inside presence, but I still think Daryl Henderson has a pretty good role on this team.
That's the voice of Dana Jeremiah, who joins us here. Doug Gottlieb for calling this The Herd. Move the Sticks, of course, is his podcast, along with our good friend and Fox Sports radio host, Bucky Brooks. Let me ask you about the Dolphins. A lot of people, myself included, were scratching our heads because we didn't see the wow play, right? It's like you're talking about Trey Lance. Like, look, Trey Lance, young, inexperienced, 1 game last year, didn't play Division I football, but you go out and watch him, and once a session, there's a wow play, like, oh, okay, Okay, I get it now, right? That seemed to be lacking last year with Tua. In fairness, no preseason. In fairness, coming off of a devastating hip injury and didn't really have dudes. He's had the preseason. He has the time under his belt. He says he studied more, and they put some dudes around him. What's the reaction now to Tua Tagovailoa?
I think he's definitely better. I think, to me, the word I would use is just crisp. I thought last year he just didn't have a lot of the juice that you saw when he was going at Alabama. And you can say, oh, he doesn't have a huge arm. But you know what I'm talking about, Doug. Like, there's twitch in your lower body. There's twitch in your release. Everything just happens, you know, with the briskness and a crispness. And I did not see that at all from him last year. And I think probably in large part to the reasons you mentioned. But I think that's back. So, I mean, I think that's encouraging. It's still not going to be a dynamic vertical offense. That's just not what they're going to do. But they're going to they should RPO people to death. And just really it's going to be death by quick slant.
Okay, let's go into a couple other teams. I like the Urban Meyer plan when it was on, if it's on a whiteboard in front, right? You go like, all right, here's a guy who's a dynamic leader. Here's a guy who's had success in the area. So there's buy-in from all the locals. The idea of Jacksonville potentially maybe a destination for free agents, just from the idea of so many dudes grew up Atlanta, Miami, everywhere in between, kind of bring them back. His evaluations of guys because, like Pete Carroll, he'd recruited them or coached against them, whatever. But there's a little bit of there's just a difference in the college mentality and the pro mentality. And I do wonder if he's still too caught up in that college methodology, right? Like, it's great to say, hey, every position's open for competition. But the reality of the NFL is, like, Trevor Lawrence was the guy. It's not close. League-wise, what are people saying about what Urban's done early on during his tenure in Jacksonville?
I would say there's a lot of curiosity. You know, I think there's skepticism, would be fair to say. Really, everybody just kind of says the same thing. Like, this is an apples and oranges situation. You can just collect as much talent as you want in college and have better dudes. And then the playing field is completely leveled here. So, and I would say that still the majority of people I talk to think that he is going to eventually be successful. But they're not so certain that it's going to be with the same staff that he has around him right now.
That's interesting. Okay, let's go a couple other quick teams. Zach Wilson, Collins talked a lot about him. He vacillates, you know, and says he has some Manziel kind of quality to him. Now you've seen Wilson play. What's your assessment at this level?
I would say I would not go anywhere near the Manziel comparison on this one for a couple reasons. A, he's infinitely more mature. B, everything that I've heard at BYU as well as from friends in the Jets front office and coaching staff, this kid works really, really hard. He puts a lot into it. So you could say, okay, well, he can create some plays and there's a little bit of a razzle-dazzle comparison to Manziel. He's already shown in two preseason games he's more willing to hang in the pocket and make NFL throws than Manziel did in his time in the NFL. So I don't buy that comp, and I think he's somebody that you use the word kind of effortless or just smooth and easy. I mean, everything is – I mean, it's going to pick up for him. The speed's going to pick up, no doubt, when you get in the regular season. But I don't get the sense with this kid that it's too big for him at all.
Are the Bears making a mistake not trusting Justin Fields early on?
I think so. I just want to get to the – we talked about this on our podcast today. I want to get to his mistakes as soon as possible, right, so he can learn from these. Let's get those mistakes done in the first 4, 6, 8 games, and then the back half of the season we're going to see an improved Justin Fields, and we're going to get excited about this Bears team going into the future. Now you wait and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden now he's just making his mistakes at the end of the year, and you don't get to see the hope and the excitement for the future because you're still in mistake phase as opposed to being in learning from mistake phase. So
yeah,
I want to get him out there as soon as possible.
I get it. And I know that Nagy wasn't there in Kansas City, okay? But you have guys in that staff who were in Kansas City, and they come from Kansas City, and they look at what's happened with Mahomes. That it feels like, you know, just like San Francisco's got that situation, could it be, hey, it worked for Mahomes. Like, Andy Dalton's fine. We're defense so, and control the ball. Like, again, I'm proposing to you the possible mindset of what they're thinking.
Oh, it's not even you're not even speculating. Matt Nagy said that he was there in Kansas City for Mahomes' rookie year. So he's talked about that as the blueprint. It's just, to me, it's apples and oranges. That was a team with Alex Smith, who's been a postseason team. That was Andy Reid, who's got the longest leash of anybody outside of Bill Belichick in the NFL. So you've got a successful team, a quarterback who's been successful with this team, and you've got Patrick Mahomes, who mechanically, coming out of Texas Tech, was all over the map. He has emerged as the best player in the NFL, Doug, but they needed that year to refine him, just from learning that new system as well as mechanically. Justin Fields doesn't require those same mechanical tweaks. Andy Reid and Matt Nagy are in completely different situations in terms of job security, and Andy Dalton hadn't taken a regular season snap with this team. It's just apples and oranges. I would Fields out there, and again, I'll let him make his mistakes early, and we'll learn from him as we go.
Okay, on your pod yesterday, I believe, you did a Super Bowl draft, and you got the first pick, and your pick was...
My pick was the Buffalo Bills, and Bucky almost fell out of his chair. He was close to falling out of his chair, but he did not.
That's good. And it's good. We don't want any harm to come upon Bucky because of your Super Bowl pick.
Look, I'm not bringing into the preseason, but I mean, golly, did you see how easy they put almost 40 points in the first half on the Bears with their backups? I mean, I love the scheme that they have offensively. Josh Allen is as talented as anybody in the league, and I include Mahomes in that mix. And now they've upgraded the pass rush to go along with a really, really good scheme on defense with Coach McDermott and Leslie Frazier. So I just like all the components they have, the way the game's played today. You went with quarterback and D-line, and I think they've gotten better on the D-line. I think the quarterback's pretty special.
Awesome stuff. DJ, that's Move the Sticks is the podcast. You can check him out, call him Charger Games, as well as see him on the NFL Network. He is crying those tears of sorrow, but hoping the Padres get to the playoffs and then take down the back door, much like the Royals did years ago, right? When they won the World Series, they took down the Angels. It was a 3-game series back then, but they took down the Angels and, of course, rode a wild card comeback. I think it was against the Rangers all the way to the World Series. That could happen. Could not. Doesn't look that way.
Doesn't look great right now.
DJ, great stuff.
See you, man.
All right, let's get to Ryan Music with Herdline.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Always good to have DJ on. Not always good to have Doug bring up the last time the Angels were actually in the playoffs and how poorly they performed. But hey,
here's the truth. They didn't. They pitched really well. Their starting pitching was awesome.
But they just couldn't hit.
They just couldn't hit.
But then again, no one really hit against that Royals team. That was when, remember, we thought that like they were remaking baseball by like having their starters go to like the fourth or fifth inning, and then they just had that insane bullpen close out the rest of the game.
Yes.
And then everyone's like, hey, you know what else works? Having like two or three aces on your staff.
Yeah.
That was interesting times. Well, we'll turn our attention here to the NFL with this first story, Doug. Tom Brady doesn't age. We know this. In fact, he may be like this Benjamin Button. You know, people compare him to Benjamin Button, where he ages in reverse. But there was a bit of news this offseason when it was eventually leaked to the media that Brady had offseason knee surgery. And now, as Brady prepares to try and defend his 7th Super Bowl title, he talked about some of the struggles he's having recovering from that knee surgery.
It was a tough off season, you know, just in terms of the rehab. Anytime someone goes through surgery, the rehab process, there's nothing easy about it. You have to get through it. But I feel like I'm really just now kind of feeling, not from a rehab standpoint, but a football standpoint, like, you know, my legs are feeling bouncy and, you know, ready to go. My arms feeling live. And, you know, I think that's the hard thing when you miss time and you don't continue to train the way you're capable of training. It's tough because, you know, your body just wants to, you know, it feels like, okay, I get time off, you know, and then when you get your body going again, it's hard. Your body's like, no, we're not working out. We're chilling.
Tom Brady being very open and honest about the rehab process this offseason.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like, I'm going through a complete reconstruction of my ACL, so it's a little bit more invasive of surgery, but I think I totally get it, right? I just do. I get what he's going through. And he's also not been a guy, he hurt his ACL years ago, but he hasn't been a guy who's had to deal with surgeries as so many do, but he's a worker. And there's a rhythm and a routine, and okay, well now July 1st we crank up workouts, and then July 15th we do something. Like, he's a programmed guy, and it throws him off of his program. No question about it. But like, again, I think we still have no idea what he looks like. We think of Tom Brady as how great he was in the first half against the Green Bay Packers. He was bad in the second half. And he was good in the Super Bowl. It was an easy game plan, though. It was very smart, especially considering Kansas City was so limited with their offensive line. But there were times last year where Tom Brady showed his age. And then late in the year when they played, I mean, look, the last four games of the year, when they go 4-0 out of the break, they played the four non-playoff teams, played four bad teams. So as much as it feels, hey, cut and paste every year, Tom Brady's the same, eventually age catches up to you because you have a surgery, rehab's harder, fatigue sets in more. I have no idea when that moment arrives, but at some point the moment's going to come where Tom Brady is not the quarterback he used to be. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Kyle Shanahan won't tell us, but he's telling us. I'll tell you next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. You heard Daniel Jeremiah describe it as a, what did he say? A kid who sneaks out to the garage, sees the Christmas present as the Nintendo, and knows what he's getting and just cannot wait till Christmas Eve or Christmas Day whenever you open presents. Is that what it sounds? This is Jimmy Garoppolo, and you can't, obviously audio-wise, you can't see the smile, but there was a smile ear to ear. Here's Jimmy Garoppolo when he was asked if he knew who the starting quarterback was.
Kyle said he had a pretty good idea who'd be the starting quarterback in week one. Do you have a pretty good idea?
Oh, yeah, I have a pretty good idea.
Okay. You're smiling about it, that must mean something, right?
It's whatever he decides, yeah. I have a pretty good idea. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now and everything, and just the offense as a whole. But yeah, Kyle's the head man. He'll make the call.
Yeah, so he has a pretty good idea. Kyle's the head man. He'll make the call. I mean, it does feel obvious. I'm not really sure if I understand the cat and mouse games. There's still plenty of time, and I think we all knew this was the plan in San Francisco to begin with. But boy, that is I have a secret, but I'm not going to tell you sort of answer, isn't it? Well, I have a secret. What is it? I cannot tell you. I know what's going to happen. I can't. This is, you know what it reminds me of? God, music, you're not old enough. Chase, Stu, I don't even think you're old enough. Remember when, I just remember when Return of the Jedi came out. Okay. And somebody had spoiled it for me that Darth Vader takes off his helmet. And all I could think about was Darth Vader taking, and my brother knew Darth Vader. He had seen the movie previously. And I kept asking, when's he going to take off his helmet? When's he going to take off his helmet? I mean, I'm like 8 at the time or 9 at the time, or whatever. Right. And he just sat there with like a smile on his face, knowing when that scene was coming. But I think what we get to is every situation and story is different. You know, Peyton Manning famously says that every interception is a story unto itself. Right? It's like when you ask a little kid, like, what happened? Well, what happened here was, right? Like, it is. It's a different story. And quarterback situations are different as well, right? Look, the last time Garoppolo was healthy, obviously they didn't let him throw the ball in the NFC Championship game. That kind of left you scratching your head. And then he didn't play well in the second half. There was some he left points out there, and they got themselves beat. But they still went to the Super Bowl. He's still a talented dude. And whether he implodes by his play or those one-off interceptions or he gets hurt, which has happened so many times in the past, you know, remember, he got to San Francisco. He played great when they weren't going to play him. Then they did play him. He played great. They give him a big contract. He comes out, and then he kind of goes hero ball and doesn't step out of bounds and tears his ACL. Then he comes back. That actually allowed them to draft very, very well. Deebo Samuel, for example, you know, they get Nick Bosa, and then they're loaded up. They go to a Super Bowl, and then last year he gets hurt again. So whether he's going to get hurt, whether he's going to throw a bad pick, whether it's just his contract expires and they do the Alex Smith like the Kansas City Chiefs, that's different than Andy Dalton has no sweat equity with the Chicago Bears. Right? Yes, he went to 5 straight playoffs for the Bengals, but he was a backup last year in Dallas, and he may be the start, but there's no sweat equity there. He didn't take them to a Super Bowl. That's a different scenario. Cam Newton has won an MVP, has gone to Super Bowl. It was years ago, and that wasn't with the Patriots. There's not the same sweat equity there. So every situation is different. Garoppolo, unlike Cam, isn't missing time. Garoppolo, unlike Andy Dalton, has been to a Super Bowl, has won playoff games. All three eventually will be replaced. It's just a question of when, not if. And it's pretty obvious based upon the response from Jimmy Garoppolo, now is not going to be the time. All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little Cowboys. I know Colin talked about their incredible facility yesterday and how he believes it makes them soft. Counteract that some upcoming next. Plus, Mike McCarthy says that Dak Prescott is like a caged lion at Cowboys practice. Why that's a bad thing. I'm Doug Gottlieb. That's next in the Herd.